Welcome again to Good Hope Through Grace. Tonight's message will be brought to you by Pastor Jeff Arthur, pastor of Elizabeth Baptist Church. Good Hope Through Grace is a radio broadcast ministry of Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. For more messages from Jeff Arthur or more information on Elizabeth Baptist Church, please visit our website at www.ghtg.org.
Tonight we're going to finish 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And what we've been doing for the past couple weeks is noticing Paul's persecution. And he has been defending his apostleship in chapter 10 and in chapter 11. And he's been persecuted by some false apostles, false teachers that had came in to the Corinthian church and were seeking to undermine him. They're saying bad things about him. So much of chapter 10 and chapter 11 is him defending his apostleship. Now, what we're going to look at tonight is verses 23 through verse 33. And let me go ahead and read our text for this evening. And what the Apostle Paul does in these verses is he describes what all he suffered for the cause. I mean, these false teachers were accusing him of different things, but he shares in these verses the things that he went through for the cause of Christ. He didn't have a life of ease. I mean, it was a whole lot better for him probably before when he was a Pharisee as far as his life was concerned, ease was concerned. Of course, he wasn't ready for eternity, and that's the main thing anybody needs to be ready for. He was a religious lost man, but he had an easier life as far as this present world. Whenever he was a Pharisee. Now that he became a Christian and began to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, things got tough on him. And of course, the Lord doesn't promise us a bed of roses in this life, does he? He says, in this world, ye will have tribulations, but be of good comfort, for I have overcome the world. So we can expect when we serve the Lord, we can expect some times of hardship and we can expect some persecution. But the Apostle Paul really went through it, and it's explained, or he shares with us some of the things that he suffered in verses 23 through 33. And this should touch the church of Corinth's heart. They could clearly see that he wasn't in this thing for the money or for what he could get out of it like false apostles would be. He was in it for them, and he was in it because God had called him to the position that he was in. So let me read our text, and then we'll get into it. It says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Now listen to this, folks. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. So five times from the Jews, he received 39 stripes. Thrice I was beaten with rods. So that would be eight times. You can just imagine what his poor old flesh looked like from the beatings that he took for the cause of Christ. Once I was stoned, and you can read about these things in the book of Acts. He was at Lystra, which is where Timothy was from. He was stoned and left for dead. And they took him and they drug him outside the city like a dog, and left him laying there. They thought he was dead. And as the disciples were gathered around him praying, he got up. And you know what he did? He went right back in the city and left the next day. I mean, so the Lord had given him, I mean, spared his life over and over and over again. But at the same time, his body really took a beating. And you can just imagine the scars and things that he had on his body. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and day I'd been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters. You can read the book of Acts about shipwreck that he was in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. His own countrymen were the Jews, and they sought to kill him, constantly wanted to kill him. In perils by the heathen, that's the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So on top of all the persecution and all the hardships that he faced and in all the journeys, if I remember right, Paul traveled in his missionary journeys over 10,000 miles. And he didn't jump on a plane and go to these places. He traveled by walking. He traveled by ship. And it was a very hard time. And he went through a lot of trials in order to get the gospel to the Gentiles. And we all should be forever thankful. Let me finish our text. He also had the care of all the churches. And of course, over half the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're reading the book of Corinthians. That's a church at Corinth, churches of Galatia, church at Ephesus, church at Philippi, churches of Thessalonica. All these were churches, and they would write to him whenever there were difficulties. So on top of all this outward persecution from the enemy, he also had the care of the churches. And that, I tell you what, there's a lot of care that's associated with a church. Now, one church is difficult enough, but when you think a lot of different churches that are writing to you about their problems, you can just see on top of all the physical hardship, there would have been mental hardship too. Who is weak that I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I'll glory the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artaeus, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. See, here again, you see at Damascus, they sought to lay a trap for him. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hand. So he's sharing with the Corinthian church all that he suffered. He had all these false teachers there at Corinth that were challenging him and cutting him down, saying his bodily presence was weak, his speech was contemptible, and they were undermining him as a man of God there. Of course, the devil was behind that. I mean, when the Lord establishes a true and a good work, Satan will seek to go after it. You take a church that's preaching the right gospel, seeking to reach the world and with the gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching God's word. Being a pillar and ground of the truth, you just watch the old devil do everything he can to try to cause discord in it and to seek to tear it apart. Well, he went after the Apostle Paul, and that's behind all of this persecution, behind all these false teachers, was the devil. He really was behind it all. But the Apostle Paul never, ever quit. And you talk about an example of a man that endured hardness. He indeed did. Now, I want to turn over to a text, and he wrote the book of 2 Timothy. And I should have given this a title, and I think I'll go ahead and give this a title now. And we're just going to entitle it Enduring Hardship. Enduring Hardship. And that's what the Apostle Paul described in verses 23 through verse 33. All the hardship. Just compare what you're going through to what he went through in verses 23 through 33, enduring hardship. How did he do it? How was he able to endure hardship the way that he did? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I think he gives us the key to that. And that's what I want to focus on tonight is enduring hardship. And here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, of course, when 2 Timothy was written, Paul was in a Roman prison. And most think, and I agree with them, that this was the last epistle that he wrote. And wasn't long after he wrote 2 Timothy that tradition says that he was beheaded. He died a martyr's death. He died for the cause of Christ. So he's writing the book of 2 Timothy to encourage this young preacher. And since the Timothy was a convert under his ministry, the Apostle Paul loved Timothy. He's writing 2 Timothy. One reason was to encourage him. So if they persecuted Paul and he went through all these hardships, then Timothy and others would face similar things that he faced. So he writes here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 some words of encouragement. And I want these words to be words of encouragement for you that are listening to me tonight. You may be going through a hard time right now. You may be in a church situation, and it's a very difficult situation. I don't know what the hardship might be. But here in 2 Timothy 2, the Apostle Paul gives some keys to being a good soldier for Christ. He gives us some keys to enduring in the temptations, in the tribulations that we face. And we want indeed to do that. Notice what he says here in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, he refers to, as I said, Timothy was his son in the faith, saved under his ministry. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, certainly he needed, of course, God can supply sufficient grace for you to endure anything that you have to endure. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. We read about in the book of 2 Corinthians 12. We'll see that, Lord willing, next week. But the Lord give him grace, strength, to be able to hold up. And what we need to do whenever we're facing hardships is we need to go to the Lord for grace to help in time of need. So he tells Timothy here to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's the strength that the Lord can give. Some men think the idea of the word grace is to be strong in the doctrine of salvation by grace. Well, that would certainly be true too. You need to be strong in both of them. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. And of course, the truths of the Word of God needs to be committed to, notice what it says, faithful men. I tell you what, a man shouldn't be a preacher if he's not faithful. He first must be faithful before he should ever be a preacher. The man that stands behind the pulpit that ministers the Word of God should be an example to the people that are listening to him. And he needs to be an example of faithfulness. I mean, steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. So he tells him that he needed to commit thou to faithful men. I mean, Paul was going to be gone, but the work would still go on. One of these days I'll be out here, man, either by death or by rapture. Either way, one of these days I'm going, but you want the work to go on, and it will go on. God's work's not depending on a man, but God uses men to work in it. And one may pass on, but another one will be raised up in their place, and that's what you want. So you got to train people. Train them in the work so that they be able to teach others. Now here's what we're after tonight. We looked at all the hardships Paul faced back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We've seen all the hardships that he placed. He gives us a good description of them. I'm sorry, that's 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 33. He listed all the hardships. How was he able to endure them? Well, God gave him the ability to do that. Now he encourages Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. And he tells him in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice what he says. He calls him a good soldier. Was Paul a good soldier? Well, he sure was. What makes him a good soldier? He endured hardness. Now, he endured hardness with the grace that God gave him to endure, but he endured hardness. You can't call someone a good soldier if they quit when it gets hard. So really what Paul was doing here in 2 Timothy 2 is he's encouraging him to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He recognized that as himself in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 33, as he had faced hardness, he realized Timothy and other preachers would face hardness and other people of God that weren't preachers would face hardness. And now he says that you're a soldier. We sing an old Bible school song, Onward Christian Soldiers. I mean, God's people need to realize that they're in a fight. I mean, this isn't a rest place for God's people. This is a place where we're at war and we're in a battle. And we're expected to be good soldiers. And to be a good soldier, guess what you have to do? You have to endure hardness. It's not a good soldier that doesn't endure hardness. If you serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, you will have tribulation. Scriptures teach plainly that in this world, ye will have tribulation. Lord Jesus taught that. Apostle Paul taught that. The Scriptures teach that. And you can see where God's people have tribulation. The god of this world is the devil. And he is at war with the people of God. And he'll do everything to close the doors of his true churches. He'll do everything to discourage those that preach the Word of God. He'll do everything he can to discourage those that are faithfully serving the Lord. He'll seek to cause you to quit. I'm going to tell you something tonight, my friend. By his grace, you need to endure hardness. Paul endured it. When I go back and I read 2 Corinthians 11:23-33, it amazes me what this man of God went through. But God give him the grace to be able to do it. And the same God that give him the grace to do it is the same God that can give you the grace to do it. And if you're going to be a good soldier, you got to endure hardness. Now, we got young men and women in the military, and they'll sign up, and then they'll take them to basic training. And oh my, basic training is very difficult. And they train them to endure hardness. They put them through heat and cold, and they run them, and they make them do push-ups, and they do all these different things in the basic training in order, they keep them up. I mean, they are expected to be able to endure hardness. They're training them to endure hardness. And we wouldn't call someone a good soldier that couldn't endure hardness. So if you're a child of God and you want to be a good soldier, you want to be like Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:23-33, who went through such persecution and hardships, if you want to be a good soldier, you got to endure the hardness that you face. I've talked to Revelations several times in the ministry. One thing caught my attention tremendously in that grand book. But in Revelation chapter 2, he speaks of the church of Smyrna. And they were a persecuted church. And I want you to listen to what the Lord Jesus said to them. And to the angel or the messenger, it's talking about the pastor of the church in Smyrna, write, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know your works and your tribulation and your poverty." This was a church that had a lot of good works. And this was a church that was going through tribulation. It was going through hardship. And it had poverty. It wasn't a rich church. It didn't have a lot of money in it. But he says, "But thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. And you shall be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. I want you to listen to what he tells the church of Smyrna. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." It just didn't say be thou faithful till it gets hard. Faithfulness shows itself in hardship. I mean, it's easy to be steadfast whenever things are peachy, but when things go south and things get hard and persecution comes and tribulations come and trials come, that's when you got to endure hardness. You got to endure hardness with the grace that the Lord gives. Let's move on to number 2. Talking about being a good soldier. We looked at the persecution Paul went through as our basis in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we showed how he endured hardness with the grace that God gave. And he's an inspiration for us all the way down to the day, is he not? I tell you what, anymore, God's people are quick to give up on everything. Oh, it's different today than it was then. I mean, we don't have it quite as hard as they had it then. They knew when they got in the ministry, and they knew when they took the name of Christ that it might cost them something, even might cost their life. Today, it's easy believism, so to speak. People make professions of faith and spend their whole life serving the world. That's not a true profession. True living faith in Christ comes as a result of being born again and trusting Jesus, and it changes your life. And it also changes your conduct. Good works isn't the cause of your salvation, but it's the effect of it. A changed life is the result of being born again and trusting Christ as your Savior. And it'll change you, and it'll produce fruit too. Today, there's so many claim to name that don't even attend his house on a faithful manner, don't have no desire to, don't pray, don't read their Bible, don't witness, and don't care. Well, I'm telling you here tonight, if you're saved, you need to be a good soldier, because one of these days, your life will be looked at, and you'll give a reckoning with what you did with the time God gave you here. You want to be a good soldier. You want to endure the hardness like Paul did. So you got to endure hardness. How you do that? You do that with the strength that God gives you. Paul was given grace of the Lord. What else must you do in order to be a good soldier? It's also listed right here in the text. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You realize the Lord chose you to be a soldier? That's what that verse says. He chose you to be a soldier. And if you're a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, then to be a good soldier, you must not only endure hardness, but you got to avoid entanglements. The devil will seek to get you wrapped up with other things that will take your attention and your focus off the Lord Jesus Christ. If he can't cause you to fall into some type of gross sin, he'll seek to get you so busy and wrapped up with the world that you don't have time for the things of Christ. Book of Ephesians says that we are to redeem our time. Buy up the opportunities. We don't want to waste our life serving the things of the world. What matters is what is done for Christ. Well, you got to avoid the entanglements. And there can be many kinds of entanglements there are in this world. When you look at the parable of the sower, it describes someone who receives the word in thorny ground. And it springs up, but then it gets choked out. And what it gets choked, it gives three weeds that chokes it out in the book of Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. One of those weeds is cares. It gets wrapped up with the cares of this world that it so takes over their man that they quit church and they don't read their Bible and they don't pray and they just disengage from spiritual things. We got something to do with cares. I mean, we have the ability to take and cast our cares on the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "Casting all of our cares upon him because he cares for us." But the devil can entangle us with cares. Man, if you don't give your cares, it'll take over your man to where you can't even think about God. It'll take away your joy. It'll take away your worship. It's a shame. Many people that way. Give your cares to the Lord. If you want to be a good soldier, you got to endure hardness and you got to avoid entanglements. And one of those entanglements is cares. The next entanglement is riches. The next entanglement is riches. American dream is to work hard all your life and then live for your retirement. Well, there's nothing wrong with having a retirement, but I'll tell you what's happening is people work all their days and focusing on their end of days, and that retirement don't last that long anyhow, and they end up wasting their life in pursuit of gain so they can sit back and take it easy. When the Lord saved your soul, he saved you to serve him. And that's what our life is about. That's why Paul said in the book of Philippians 1 was to live is Christ. To live isn't football. To live isn't sports. To live isn't my job. To live isn't whatever. To live is Christ if you're born again. That's what it's all about. And you got to avoid getting so entangled up with all these things. Cares and riches and pleasures are all named in Luke 8:14 as being thorns that choke out fruitfulness. Redeem your time, my friend. So, Paul was a good soldier. He endured the hardness with grace that God gave, and he avoided the entanglements that were associated with this life. He said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before." His whole life was about Jesus. His whole life was about his service to Jesus. And he served him all the way up to and through death. He even considered it a great honor to die for the cause of Christ. He was a dedicated man of God, and he endured hardness, and he avoided entanglements. That made him a good soldier for Jesus Christ. And this is the advice in 2 Timothy, that chapter 2, and verse 1 through 4, that he's giving this young preacher, Timothy. Well, to be a good soldier, you not only endure hardness, not only do you seek to avoid entanglements, but you got to do what you do for the right reason. Your motive has to be right. A lot of people serve the Lord today for money, and they serve the Lord for riches, and that's their motivating factor. The reason we serve the Lord is we serve Him. We sing a song in the church, "I will serve Thee because I love Thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before You found me. You have given life to me." Our life is Christ. And why we do what we do is to be for Christ. That's what it says in 2 Timothy 2:4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life," here you have it, "that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Who chose the Apostle Paul? The Lord did. When he sent Ananias to baptize him in the book of Acts, he said that Paul was a chosen vessel unto him. He wasn't heading up to Damascus for a revival meeting. He was heading up there to put Christians in chains and bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he said in the book of Philippians, I believe it was, that he was apprehended by Christ on the road to Damascus. Lord Jesus appeared to him and saved his soul, made him an apostle. And buddy, I tell you what, he loved him for that. He was chosen to be a soldier. And what motivated the Apostle Paul's life was to please him, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. That's why you do it. That's why you sing. That's why you go to church. You don't do it to please men. Man, if you're doing these things to please men, when that man's gone, you'll stop serving. You do what you do to please Jesus. You do what you do to bring glory and honor and praise to Jesus. You do it to please Him. And that's your motivation. That's what a good soldier does. Well, we've been looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we looked at all the persecution that Paul went through. We then went to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we showed you how that we are soldiers in the Lord's army. And we showed you how to war a good warfare, how to be a good soldier. And how is that? You got to endure hardness. You got to avoid entanglements. And then number three, you got to be motivated right. You got to do it all for the glory of Jesus and to please the one that chose you to be a soldier. May God add His blessings to His word.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening or anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is brought to you by Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.